Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning we focus our attention on our Gospel reading from Luke chapter 6, where we hear this very difficult command from Jesus to love our enemies. You may be seated. I will admit it's kind of nice when people hear that you're losing your voice and then you come up to the pulpit and there's cough drops just sitting there. I know I didn't put those there. Thanks for taking care of me. Right in the middle of our gospel reading here today, we have one of the most well-known passages in all of Scripture. Luke records Jesus as saying to us these words. He says, "And as you wish that others would do to you, so do to them." It's the golden rule. You all know it. You all have heard it. Maybe you learned it as a youth with a little different wording. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Either way, the premise of this teaching is the same. Treat other people in the way that you want to be treated. It's simple, and it's powerful, and it seems like one of those messages that all of us could take to heart. It wouldn't be that difficult, would it? And yet our sinful nature tends to live by a different rule. More often than not, our first inclination is to treat others as they have treated us. Because revenge is sweet, isn't it? We get mad, and then we get even. It seems that there's nothing sweeter than getting even with someone who's wronged you. There's so much satisfaction in cutting down that bully on social media with a witty response in the comments section. We feel better somehow when we lay on a horn so loud to let that guy who cut us off on the highway know how terribly he's wronged us. It's oh so tempting to dig up dirt from the past about someone who we've heard has been talking poorly about us. And how long do we hold on to these grudges? It's not uncommon to hear someone angry enough to write their spouse or their child out of the will for the way that they've been treated. These things are so ingrained in us that we feel that there are God-given rights. Someone disrespects you, just disrespect them right back. Because that's only fair. But what God has given as his command to us is so far from what we are so often tempted to do. And as usual, Jesus turns our idea of fairness completely over and totally on its head. And he urges us to respond in ways that no human mind would have ever conceived. Jesus calls us to respond in love. Today's gospel continues Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. And it flows from that message that we heard last week, that those who are poor, hungry, sad, and hated are in fact blessed. And that those who are rich, well-fed, happy, and popular have woes pronounced against them. Jesus is speaking here in this place to a society where the rule is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And using that rule was the only appropriate and expected reaction to personal conflict. But Jesus outlines for his hearers a very different method for dealing with enemies. And this is what Jesus says. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. It's clear here, very, very clear, that Jesus is commanding that we respond to hate with love. That we offer blessings when cursed. Pray for those who mistreat us. And that if someone takes something from us, let them have it. Not that way. But let them have whatever it is that they took and more. I think we read this and we think that Jesus can't possibly be serious about all of this. I look at some of your faces and I introduce this with the fact that this is a hard teaching, isn't it? And I look at some of your faces and I see, yeah, pastor's talking about loving your neighbor again, right? Jesus can't possibly be serious about this, though. Love your enemies. Love the ones who have wronged you. Love those who have persecuted you. And even if he is serious, he can't actually believe that we're really going to do that, can he? And he does. He is serious. And he does actually expect us to live this way. And because of that, it's important for us to clarify what Jesus actually means here and what Jesus doesn't mean. Because sometimes what Jesus is not saying is as important as what he does say. He's not saying that you can't go out and speak in your own defense when you're wronged. He's not saying that you can't defend yourself or your loved ones from harm. Just read our catechism's explanation to the fifth commandment and you'll see that that's not true. He's not denying authorities the right to exact punishment as God's representatives. And Jesus is also not requiring us to support freeloaders by our charity. That would be in contradiction to God's word spoken by Paul to the Thessalonians when he says, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. But what Jesus is telling us is that personal vengeance is sinful. Our response to the harsh and unloving treatment of others should be one that seeks justice, but does so through pointing the offender to the love of God in Christ Jesus. What's so hard is that this kind of love is only perfectly shown in the person of Jesus. And for those of us who realize that we can't do this perfectly, the mere suggestion that we would try seems overwhelming to us. Loving your enemies seems as impossible to us as maybe building a time machine or turning lead into gold. It's impossible, but it's what we've been called to do. And it is impossible without the love that's first been given to us. Hear what Paul says in Romans about the love that we've been given in Christ. He says, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you think that there's someone in your life who deserves your vengeance rather than your love, imagine how God must have felt about us. He created us, body and soul. He gave us all that we have, our family, our possessions, But we misuse and we abuse those gifts. And we are quick to question, to doubt, and to blame Him when we don't get the things that we want. He reveals Himself to us in His Word and invites us to regularly receive His gifts of grace. But we despise His Word. We either don't read it, or we think that we can redefine what it means. Or maybe even skip over these tough passages because they're just too hard for us to take to heart. And then we invent all kinds of excuses to avoid receiving His gifts. We treat God's commands like suggestions, living as if somehow we know better than God does. For all this, how did God get even with us? He sent His Son to save us. And Jesus did that by allowing humanity to do the very worst to Him. Curse Him, slap Him, spit on Him, strip Him, nail Him to a tree, and then sit back and watch as He died in front of their eyes. And how did Jesus respond to all of that? He looked down from the cross and He said, "Father, forgive them." And if you ever wonder how God should have treated us, look to the cross. That's what we deserved. And if you ever wonder how God has treated us, look to the cross. It's where you'll see God's Son hanging there in your place, suffering for your sins. That's how God responded when we treat Him in the same way that we are so often treated by our enemies. Even so, that really doesn't make it any easier to do what God is calling us to do. Because instead of looking at what our God has done for us, we tend to look at what someone deserves and whether or not they deserve our love. They don't, but neither do we. And the fact that God has given us love that we don't deserve is the only reason that we can return love for hate, blessings for curses, prayers for mistreatment. And it's the only way that we could ever hope to turn the other cheek. So when you ask yourself, why should I love my enemies? It's not because they deserve it. It's because God loved you. The way of this world is to do good to friends and evil to your enemies. But Jesus says that His disciples are going to be different. You are going to love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And these are the very things that set us apart as the children of God, who is kind and merciful, even to the ungrateful and the evil. We are supposed to look and act differently than the world. In a world that says, judge and condemn those around you, Jesus says this. He says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. We hear it, and we know that Jesus says what He means, and He means what He says. But our sinful nature just keeps on raising concerns, doesn't it? If I love, and if I bless, and if I pray for my enemies, if I turn the other cheek, if I give away my property, who's going to watch out for me and my well-being? How do I know that I'll have enough to survive enough to support my own family? How can I be sure that evildoers will be punished if I don't see to it myself? How can I let myself be taken advantage of like that? You're not alone if those things concern you. As I said up front, this is a difficult teaching. It's a difficult teaching for every one of us who has been wronged by somebody else, which is every one of us. So you're not alone. And our simple nature is perfectly capable of inventing thousands of reasonable, rational arguments to take vengeance into our own hands. But the answer to those concerns is the same as the answer to any concern that we have about life in this world. We're to know and believe and trust God's promises. And the greatest of those promises is this, that He has loved us with an everlasting love, as we're reminded by Jeremiah. And then John reminds us in his first epistle of this same love as well, where he says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. As hard as it is for us to love like God, and as hard as it is for us not to take justice into our own hands, we can take comfort in the fact that if vengeance is called for, God will take care of it. If not now, through His representatives here, then on Judgment Day. Let God worry about taking care of what God's to worry about. And let God worry about taking care of you today. And let God worry about taking care of your enemies as well. Because God's love for all of us is unconditional. God's love for you is unconditional. And that frees you to love your enemies, to turn the other cheek, to be generous with what God has given to you, because you know that your true reward is safe in heaven, purchased and won for you by Jesus Christ, your Savior. Who, by the way, is the Savior of your enemies as well? Our world is destroying itself in its quest for justice. Everywhere you turn, it seems, someone is trying to get even with someone else for something that was done or was said. Sometimes over things that happened decades, if not centuries ago. That's the way of the world. But that's not the way of Jesus' disciples. We are to be different. Because through faith in Jesus, as dearly loved children of God, whose true reward is safe in heaven, we are different. And because we're different, we are called to treat each other in the way that we have been treated by God in Christ Jesus. With love. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our